Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
Well, the story that many of you are going to be talking about this morning, as Kieran mentioned there, is childcare. And it follows on from this news that emerged late last night that the government, they've cancelled the temporary childcare scheme that was in place for essential healthcare workers. And just to remind you, this proposal would have really seen the childcare workers look after the kids of healthcare staff. They were going to do that for €90 a week per family. But then last night, the Children's Minister, Catherine Zappone, said that it's due to only six providers signing up. Just six signed up for the initiative since it was announced, which she says is clearly unlikely to change. Just some of the reasons cited by the department last night for the incredibly low uptake. The reasons for the low sign-up rate include the lack of insurance cover, virus transmission, difficulties in managing employer responsibilities for breaks and rest periods, and the concerns about a lack of protection for staff working alone. The department was always conscious of the fact that a 27,000 workforce consisted predominantly of women, many of whom had their own parental and caring responsibilities and some of whom had underlying health conditions as well. We want to know from healthcare providers this morning, from the childcare providers that are listening to us out there this morning, why is that? Why did only six providers sign up for the scheme? What were the issues with it? Why did you think it wasn't going to work out? Please get in touch with us this morning, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents, because we do want to hear from you. But we also want to hear from the healthcare workers and what position they're now in. We will be talking about this in more detail in around 10 minutes time in the programme, but you can get in touch with your views on that story this morning, the fact that the government has cancelled the temporary childcare scheme, and you can get in touch too with us this morning on Twitter at BreakfastNT. Right across the papers this morning, look, there's lots of stories as always about coronavirus and COVID-19 and the effects of the pandemic, but the Irish Independent's headline this morning, 300,000 will be out of work for years to come. Fairly sobering message. This is from the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue. Hundreds of thousands will remain out of work even after the pandemic is eased. And Pascal Donoghue has privately warned there is a risk that unemployment will remain persistently high for years to come. At a briefing of the parties involved in the government formation talks, Mr. Donoghue said the country is facing into an economic crisis which is more comparable to the 1980s recession than the financial crash. That's according to the Irish Independent. The full story front page and also inside the Irish Independent too this morning. Again, testing times, also the contact tracing, that's the story that dominates the Irish Independent this morning. The delays now to reducing the time it takes to test and to trace the contacts of the COVID-19 cases will not affect the decision though on whether to ease the lockdown restrictions from next Monday. And that's according to the state's chief medical officer, Tony Houlihan. He made the comments at the briefing yesterday. Just to quote him on the front of the Irish Independent, he said, "I'm not anticipating that we will be in a situation whereby that performance is going to limit us in terms of easing restrictions." And the department also announced that a further 10 people have died from COVID-19 in the Republic. It was the lowest daily death toll since really late March. And there were also a further 159 cases too last night. What's interesting though just about that is that the National Public Health Emergency Team, they're actually meeting later this morning, but it's a day earlier than expected, and really to consider what advice it's going to give for Monday, when there is due to be, of course, the phase one introduction of the easing of the COVID-19 restrictions. Also an interesting story too on the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning, and that's to do with the change to how colleges and universities and third level providers will operate now into the future. How Irish universities and colleges will run, teach, make money and conduct their research will face fundamental change over the next 5 years. Remote teaching set to become now a mainstay until widespread rollout of a vaccine. The business model for higher education is also going to face significant challenges. Increasing numbers of students may opt to defer courses. Big tech firms look likely to play a much larger role now in the sector, and we could see even less institutions. That's all according to Graham Love, who's the former chief executive of the Higher Education Authority. He believes the next 2 years will act as a live lab experiment for higher education and research in this country. Interesting interview. More on that front page of the Irish Examiner too this morning. Beer we go, says the Irish Mirror today. Defiant publicans are plotting to open their doors on June 29th. That's the story in the front page of the tabloid there this morning. 6 weeks ahead of schedule, many publicans that have around restaurant licence are hoping to get back in business on the earlier date now of June 29th. Sources in the bar trade speaking to the Irish Mirror this morning. I've no doubt you'll hear more about that story too today. Just another interesting story that caught my eye this morning in other news. It's in the Times UK today. York in lead to create the first petrol-free city centre. York in the UK could become the first zero-emission city centre right across Britain after the lockdown is lifted, with only electric vehicles and bikes now allowed within its walls. And the tourist destination is already due to ban private car journeys by 2023, excluding those by disabled drivers. But its new objective now came after Grant Shapps, the Transport Secretary, said that the government wanted at least one city centre to be restricted to electric vehicles and bikes as part of this package now to kind of what they're describing as change the way people travel. They're investing £2 billion sterling as part of the efforts to create the what they're calling the new era for cyclists and walkers. And it's all too really amid fears that coronavirus could spread across public transport as people start to return to work. But in York, which was the first city in the country there to introduce this voluntary clean air zone, has also improved environmentally friendly transport, including greener buses and plans for electric vehicle charging hubs. Fines of £20 sterling for people who refuse to switch off a parked vehicle when asked were also brought in last year. We want to know, what do you make of that suggestion? The idea of a zero emission city centre, you can let us know your view. Is that something maybe that we should be looking at? 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Just on government formation talks also continuing, but an interesting story in the front page of the Irish Times this morning, because a new method of calculating the annual budget to focus on the well-being of people as well as economic measures is now being discussed in the government formation negotiations. And the Green Party has raised this idea of a new well-being budget with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And the party has cited the New Zealand well-being budget model that was introduced by the Prime Minister there, Jacinda Ardern's government, last year. And that approach is based on the idea that the long-term impact of policies on people's lives is actually better than measuring progress from economic information. And the first well-being budget in New Zealand saw significant investment in things like, for instance, mental health, measures to try and combat domestic violence, and major funding for improving children's well-being. And it also focused on climate measures, a digital economy, and support in minority groups as well. So we want to know, what's your view on that this morning? Should we be focusing on a well-being budget here in this country? Is it a good idea? You can let us know your view on that story this morning. To some of the other stories online and inside the papers, there's an interesting story in The Independent this morning, page 15 of the paper, and I'm really interested to hear from people who are at home at the kitchen table, maybe going to start work at 16 minutes past six this morning. Do you find you're working longer when you're working from home, from this remote working that many of you are now doing? Well, The Independent tells us that home workers are putting in an extra week's work every month. People working from home due to the pandemic are clocking up an additional 33 hours of labour a month, the equivalent to an additional working week. And this new survey this morning shows that nearly half of the older workers miss their colleagues in work. One in five feel lonely and isolated. As many as 51% of workers overall would like flexible hours and the option to continue to work from home post-lockdown. But the findings have emerged in this survey of 2,000 workers that was commissioned by LinkedIn, and it found a third of women are exercising more and nearly half are spending more time with family. And post-lockdown, workers intend to be kinder to colleagues, the survey says, but 4 in 10 worry about being made redundant after lockdown is lifted. More on that survey, page 15 of the Irish Independent this morning. Just finally, if you've young kids at home who are bored, we might have something that you can occupy them with today, because the Examiner tells us that Cork wants your lockdown art. They're calling for kids. A major art project has been announced to capture kids' experience of the COVID-19 crisis. It's actually really interesting. It's modelled on an art scheme that was aimed at children during the Second World War. Children of all backgrounds and abilities in Cork have now been invited to answer this, what they're calling a creative call, and to submit their artwork, which will be showcased then on a digital exhibition, and then it'll be archived for a future study. And it's hoped really the collection will give a kind of a unique insight into how kids who call Cork home experienced or are viewing the current lockdown pandemic. Those are the stories making the headlines this Thursday morning.
Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.